Bonnie Tallman of the Billtown Blues Association will never forget the first time she heard Eden Brent perform.
I don't know now how many years ago it was. It might have been like 2007 or 8, something like that. Charlie and I were down to the International Blues Challenge, and I happened to be a judge for the acoustic part of the event that year. And this young, beautiful girl came out. She's got hair clear down to her, you know, way down below the tush. Just beautiful girl. And she comes out in a million-dollar smile, and she sits down in front of this piano, and this is a competition. I mean, for a lot of these players, their career is on the line here. And so she comes out in this relatively small room, and the judges are sitting right in front of her, gawking at her. And she's playing. She gets into about her third song, and the piano just dies. It just quits. And quickly, the sound engineer comes out, and he's looking at cables and changing cables. And she keeps right on singing, right on smiling, never stopped, never lost a beat. But she could see that this is going nowhere fast. So she looks over to the wall, and over against the wall was an old rickety upright piano. And she just keeps smiling and singing, and she kind of sashays over to that piano and pulls the thing up, and of course the ivory's off the keys. I mean, it was a relic that was just there for ambiance. And she starts playing it totally out of tune. She adjusts her vocals to match up with the piano, and she finishes the whole rest of her set. And Eden won. She made the finals, and she won in the finals with that weird performance. And I have never forgotten her.
Bonnie Tallman of the Billtown Blues Association remembering her first encounter with Eden Brent in Memphis at the International Blues Challenge. Eden Brent is one of the powerful artists in the lineup for the 27th annual Billtown Blues Festival on June 18th, and she is so characteristic of the kinds of performers the Billtown Blues Festival seeks out and celebrates, not just those with talent to burn. Not just those rooted deeply in the tradition and carrying it forward, those making the tradition their own in original and compelling ways, but on top of everything, artists with that hard-to-define quality demonstrated so dramatically by Eden Brent in Memphis, the power of presence on stage, the power to engage the audience, pull them in, delight them, touch them, and of course at a blues festival, get them up and dancing. The annual Billtown Blues Festival will take place on Saturday, June 18th at the Lycoming County Fairgrounds in Hughesville, and they will be hosting the legendary band Canned Heat out on the road as part of its 50th anniversary tour. Bonnie Tallman and Charlie Lockhart of the festival committee stopped in at the WVIA studios to fill us in.
It started 27 years ago. Hard to believe. We got together in Williamsport, Franco's Lounge, and we planned what we were calling a picnic down by the river with some music. And the first year was successful, and we're still doing it 27 years later. And one of the bands that were at the first festival, Mark Ross, who was Queen Bee in the Blue Hornet Band, but he was the leader and he was a guitar player, and he's going to be at this year's Billtown Blues Festival 27 years later, and he's got a new band, Ms. Melanie and the Valley Rats, and he's the one that wrote the children's book, Mixed Up Morning Blues, and he's going to be doing a reading from the book in the acoustic tent.
What are the considerations when you've been putting together these festivals?
We went to festival school in Memphis. In the late 80s, Charlie and I went to Memphis, and they had people from all over the country having little tiny workshops, and it was all about the blues. I mean, the whole thing in Memphis is, how do we keep this art form in people's minds, and how do we continue nurturing it, not just for the entertainment factor, but for the artistic and cultural and historical value that it has. And so they would have these little workshops. How do you do a blues festival? How do you get blues on the radio? How do you start a blues society? So we went to all of these workshops, and we come home and we think, what can we do in Williamsport? And interestingly, everything just really, it just fell together miraculously. Charlie was able to get on the radio and start doing blues on a weekly basis, and so people were hearing the music. People were calling us, how do we advertise? We want to help you with this. What do we have to do? And then Franco's Lounge that Charlie mentioned, Fred Danielli, the owner, was, you know, very much a believer in blues and American roots music. And so even though it was primarily a restaurant, he would try to book blues bands as they were touring through. And he's the one who really kind of got Mark Ross and Queen Bee and the Blue Hornet Band off the ground from State College. And then there was a little independent record store in Williamsport at that time, and they had blues vinyl. I mean, when Charlie first went on the radio, we were playing vinyl, and learning how to cue up vinyl was quite interesting. But
an art form.
Yeah, that was an art form in itself. But anyway, people would go into this little independent record store, and they would be playing blues in there. So people were buying the music, they were hearing the music, they were seeing the music live. And it just was the perfect timing to start an organization of like-minded blues and American roots music enthusiasts, as well as have a celebration. And that's what I really call the festival. It's a celebration of the art form.
And you must have seen in those 27 years not only the coming together of people in and around Williamsport, but there is now a northeastern and central Pennsylvania blues circuit almost, isn't there?
There is. I mean, it's amazing how many blues societies we have seen come in into play since, you know, we started. Festivals have popped up, you know, throughout Pennsylvania, very good festivals. And even on a national level, the Blues Foundation has just grown and grown and grown and grown. And still, having said that, it's way out of the mainstream, as you know as well as anyone. I mean, it's not something that you can rest on or take for granted. It has to be worked and taken care of constantly. But during the 27 years, you know, we feel like we've hung in there.
Begin to tell us what's in store for us this year.
We're real excited about our opening act. These are a bunch, I'm going to call them seasoned veterans. They're mostly retired gentlemen who had enrolled in what's called the Adult Performance Workshop at a little music school in Williamsport called the Uptown Music Collective. And they enrolled just because, well, you know, you get older and you think, geez, I've always wanted to play guitar. Maybe I'll try to learn now, even though I might be 70 or 75 or whatever. So anyway, these gentlemen enrolled, and then they were doing a show in Williamsport, and Charlie and I went, and we're thinking, these guys are really fun. And then we went again, and they were still fun. And we went the third time, and we didn't tell them, but we were kind of auditioning them for the festival. And they just were fantastic. I mean, certainly, you know, musically, they're probably average. But just in terms of fulfilling their dream of being on a stage, playing music and blues and all of that. So we decided that we would just give them an opportunity to play the Billtown Blues Festival. And they are so excited. They talk about it, and I said, hey, how does it feel to be opening for Canned Heat? And they go, oh my gosh, we never thought of it like that. So that's the kickoff band. They're called the River City Blues Band.
And then we've got a band that won our Billtown Blues Challenge this year, and they're going to Memphis in the International Blues Challenge. But it's Gabe Stillman and the Billtown Giants. And Gabe Stillman is a young man. He's 20 years old. And he's got a couple seasoned players with him that's been playing around the Williamsport area for a number of years. They put together a band, and Gabe has got the fire, he's got the talent, and you can tell that looks like it's coming really easy to him because it's just flowing out of him, the talent. And people just love him. He went down and he played in Lancaster this year at the Roots Festival, and he got a lot of fans and made a lot of friends, and people are noticing him. And I'm really kind of glad that we have the opportunity to call him our, what would he be, our protege?
Our grandchild.
Yeah, because he's so young, and he's performed with us before when he was part of the Uptown Music Collective's blues show that they did. He's played the Blues Brothers, and he makes a wonderful John Belushi.
And I know that you remember, because I can see it in your eyes, Erica, that we told the story last time about how one of our artists called at the very last minute in a terrible jam in West Virginia and couldn't make it. And what are we going to do? And Gabe was actually schlepping equipment backstage as a volunteer. And we approached Gabe. Now, this was 3 years ago, so he was like 16, 17. And we said, we're in a real pickle. Can you bring your volunteer musical friends together and do something for us to fill a big hole in the stage? And with 45 minutes notice, he came up with a set list, and he took charge as a band leader and grabbed a hold of that stage, and people are still talking about his performance. So it's now really great to have him come back where he's had time to just really think about it and enjoy the whole journey of getting on the stage and doing a full set of his own music. And the winner of our event, based on the judging process, then is insured a spot on our festival stage, and then they are eligible to go to Memphis. You have to be an affiliated blues society, which we are, but that then makes them eligible to go down there. And we have sent a number of people to Memphis, and some of them have made the semifinals, one or two have made the finals, but whatever they end up positioning themselves after they play, they just love the experience, and they go down into Mississippi, and they find gravestones, and they go to Graceland, and a whole bunch of museums, the Gibson Guitar Museum, so they just have, you know, it's just a wonderful experience for whoever comes out on top with that. And of course, Gabe Stillman will be going down this year. And then we actually separate an acoustic challenge from a band challenge. And Kim Reichley from Lewisburg and Brian Noaker from Milton teamed up and did an absolutely incredible duo acoustic set. And they came out on top. So they're going to be in our festival, and they're going to be in Memphis. Miss Melanie and the Valley Rats will follow Gabe Stillman, and Charlie mentioned quite a bit about them already, but this is a band, and I'm sure your listeners remember the great Tanya Brown, Queen Bee and the Blue Hornet Band, a State College-based band, and Mark and Queen Bee and that whole band. They were just terrific, and they were kind of a mid-Atlantic band. They did a lot of touring, and they were well-known throughout the mid-Atlantic states. And she passed away at a very young age, and Mark really didn't do anything musically for a long time. But then he found this Miss Melanie, and she has, again, those powerful vocals that attracts him. And, you wouldn't even begin to do a comparison to Tanya Brown, because they have two completely different singing styles. But she is a powerful vocalist, and Mark is an incredible guitarist, and they have a very tight band. And as Charlie said, they played our first festival. They actually played our first three festivals. And then once, several years later, after we had moved to the fairgrounds, but it's probably been, I don't know, 8 or 9 years since Mark has played our festival. And he is so excited. You know, we just have this little tiny festival, and when people get excited about playing it, you feel like, well, we must be doing something right.
Musicians know, they talk to each other and about who really values the music, who treats the artists well. They know that.
I feel they do. And we, as a society, we have three goals. And goal number one is that the musicians feel like they did the right thing when they accepted our offer, that they leave thinking, hey, this was a good move for us. And secondly, we want the people who bought tickets, when they leave or when they write us or call us or whatever, because as you know, people have so many choices, and they have to pick and choose. And how do they pick us? But when they do pick us, you know, we want them to feel like it was worth their time and their money. And then, of course, the obvious is we just want to make sure we can pay our bills and stay alive for another year. And that's pretty simple. Three goals that we try to accomplish.
You mentioned Mark and the children's book at the start. tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, the book is called Mixed Up Morning Blues, and it is a book where Mark sings and plays the words of the book. And then he encourages call and response with the children. And the children are, it's targeted for children 2 to 8. And Mark will be doing that set in our acoustic tent at 12:45. He's actually going to be opening the acoustic tent with that. And because of that, you know, we're also trying to bring in a couple other children's type things like face painting. And there's another group coming in called Making Music with Alicia. So we're trying to give the parents who bring their children to see Mixed Up Morning Blues and participate with that other things to do at the festival while they're there. And Mark actually approached us about wanting to do it. So we're trying to make it as good for him as we possibly can. I'm looking forward to that little set myself.
And we got another group that's going to be playing Andy T and Nick Nixon. Now, Andy T is the guitar player and the band leader. Nick Nixon is the vocalist. They were nominated for Blues Band of the Year this year for the Blues Music Awards. And they've been around for quite a while. They were recording artists for Blind Pig, the late Blind Pig Records, unfortunately. But they put out probably 3 or 4 albums with Blind Pig. And they're going to also be performing in the acoustic tent on a special show at 4 o'clock. And then they're going to be on the stage at 6:30, I believe, for their performance. So we're looking forward to them. And I believe Bonnie worked with Nick Nixon as a member of the Blues Foundation board.
Right. Well, they're from Nashville, these two gentlemen. And I know that Graham plays them on his programming, and I've heard it, and you know, so I'm hoping that your listeners are a little bit familiar with their music. But they are the type of band you can't really pigeonhole them. You can't say, well, they're this, that, or something else. They've taken all of the various colors of blues music, New Orleans-based music and West Coast music and Texas blues and Chicago blues and Kansas City blues, and they've figured out a way to just kind of bring that all together into their style of playing. And they're coming with a band. I mean, even though it's Andy T and Nick Nixon, they're going to have a full band behind them. It's just going to be terrific music. And, you know, that is such a challenge, to stay true to blues, stay true to the blues formula, and yet keep it interesting and keep it exciting. It's really, really difficult. People think, oh, blues is so simple, it's so repetitive, and anybody can play the blues, it's boring. You know, I hear people say that, and I just want to say, just try it. Because it's really very difficult. And then when you have people like Nick and Andy who just make it their business to be so innovative with what's already there, but just making it really interesting and different. So then coming in, you know, you've heard this before, Erica, we really try when we're programming the festival to look at it as a body of work. We're not looking at, you know, how many bands can we get and who can we get for the least amount of money, and, you know, that never enters our mind. What we try to do is look at the entire festival as a body of work, meaning we like to have a lot of diversity to people's ears. So if they hear 2 or 3 bands in a row, you know, they'll be able to recognize the differences very easily. So coming up after Andy and Nick is Eden Brent. And I'm so glad I get to talk about Eden, because she and I go back quite a long ways. Eden is from Mississippi. She was tutored and brought up on the blues by a very traditional Mississippi blues man. But she's a boogie-woogie style piano player, terrific vocalist, terrific songwriter. She's going to be on stage with the band, although she travels all over the world doing solo performances. But she'll be with us with the band. And it's taken me a long time to get her to Billtown, but I'm just so thrilled that she's going to come in, because it's kind of an inspirational part of her story.
And she's just got an unbelievable voice. I mean, when you look at her and hear her sing, you would never imagine that that's her singing.
Yeah, she weighs like 90 pounds, And, you know, she looks like she ought to be a fashion model walking some runway somewhere. And then she starts singing and you go, whoa.
Big, solid, full voice. Then we've got the North Mississippi blues sound, which is just a hypnotic, driving beat. And we've got a couple masters that's coming in for that. Cedric Bernstein Project. They were nominated for a Grammy this year for their album. And they won Album of the Year for the traditional category in the Blues Music Awards. And Cedric won Drummer of the Year at the Blues Music Awards. And Cedric Burnside is the grandson of R.L. Burnside. Blues people will know him. And the guitar player is Trent Ayers. And he is the son of Junior Kimbrough. So you've got two of the biggest names, Junior Kimbrough and R.L. Burnside, in the North Mississippi sound. And we've got their heirs coming down to play, and there's two of them in this project, and it sounds like there's about eight, and they can really make a sound, and it's just a driving beat, and it's hypnotic, and people just seem to love it, you know, and so they're going to be putting on a set, and I know that they're going to be big hit, and it's different, you know, and like Bonnie said, we've got such a variety of music, and so you're going to be hearing that after you hear the Boogie Woogie piano player, who's going to be playing after a full band that's going to be combining different regional sounds and mixing them up. So the sound is going to be unbelievable. And again, you know, the Billtown Blues Festival is about the music and the different styles of blues, bringing them all together and letting people enjoy and see it's just not one type of music.
And Canned Heat is coming in. And actually, Canned Heat is a band that I probably wouldn't have even thought of. But we had a lot of requests for Canned Heat through the last several years. You know, people have said, what about Canned Heat? What about Canned Heat? And they were totally off my radar. But then they put out a blues album and a DVD. Charlie started playing them on the radio. And so I started paying more attention to them. And then, again, it's kind of fortuitous, but we went to this show at the Community Arts Center, and it was an Uptown Music Festival show, and one of the students came out on stage and started doing this really great song, and it was called Going Up the Country, and I'm thinking, wow, that's a great song. Well, then it was a Canned Heat song, and I'm thinking, all right, this has got to happen. This is meant to be. So we did do what you got to do to try to get them in. And again, it's a little tiny festival in a little rural town of Pennsylvania. But fortunately, it all lined up and it all came together. And, you know, they started a sound that they say mixed rock and roll with country blues. And they did create a very unique sound, and it appealed to a lot of different music fans, which caused them to cross over, and they got, you know, three big hits, maybe more. But they've had a lot of tragedy through the years, but there are two of the original members coming in, Fito De La Pera on drums and Larry Taylor on bass, Larry the Mole Taylor. And the other two, Dale Spaulding and John Paulus, have been around and played with the current configuration for many, many years. So it's going to be a wonderful band, and they've included us in their 50th anniversary tour. It's 47 years since they played Woodstock. So we're just real thrilled. I mean, it's an honor that they're coming in. And again, part of the diversity of programming the event is we do try to have something that's a little bit on the edge. You know, maybe we'll have Zydeco, maybe we'll have country blues or whatever. We'll try to have something that's just a little bit on the edge. Like last year, we had Kim Simmons and Savoy Brown, and we had Johnny Winter. But these are people that were so immersed in the blues at the beginning of their careers. You know, and then they may have gone here, there, whatever to get broader appeal, but then they come back to the blues. And that's what Canned Heat has done. So the main stage is going to be a great place to spend your day. But if you want to walk around, you can then go to the acoustic stage.
And we've got some great performers at the acoustic stage. We have John Sweeney, who is a local performer, harp player, guitar player, and Tom Rosencran, who is from Northumberland. And he is a great player, and they're going to be in the acoustic tent, along with Brian Noaker and Kimbo Reichley. And It's always exciting to go over and sit in the acoustic tent because it's a different crowd than's over in front of the electric. Because a lot of these people really appreciate the music and they're listening, as opposed to the people over in front of the bands that they're there dancing and they're having a good time and they're not really 100% listening to the music. But when you go in the acoustic tent, people are paying attention to what's there because they want to be there, because they have a choice of going either place. And some folks sit in the acoustic tent all day.
We want to mention, in addition to Mixed Up Morning Blues, which is targeted towards kids, following that is Dave Brumbaugh and his Boogie Chillin' Kids Guitar Workshop. And what he does, he's the executive director of the school I've mentioned, the Uptown Music Collective, and they will bring in a whole bunch of acoustic guitars and hand them out to the kids and actually teach them fingerings and chord progressions and 12-bar blues, and then they work towards playing a song. So that's going to be really cool. And then the last act in the acoustic stage, again, Andy T. and Nick Nixon, who will have already been on the main stage, they're going to come over and then do a nice closing acoustic set. And it's just a great time to get real up close to them and really study what they're all about.
Can people become members of the Billtown Blues Association?
Yeah, and we welcome members because it's a lot of hard work. And, you know, our membership, you get our newsletter, a publication that's printed quarterly, and it's an excellent publication done by a volunteer within our group. And when we can, we will offer discounted ticket prices to some of our other events. But most importantly, you're contributing to an organization that is really trying to do something artful and meaningful with music. So our website, BilltownBlues.org, really has everything on there that you need to know. You can click on festival and you can learn all about ticketing and lodging. We have a host hotel, the Ginetti Hotel in Williamsport. We have craft vendors, so that if you want to get up and walk around, you know, you can do that. We have 30-minute changeovers, so that allows people plenty of time to get up and they're not just sitting there all day. There's wonderful food. We have tents and we have area for people who want to bring their own small tents or canopies. So we really try within our means and space to accommodate people the best that we can. We try to raise a lot of money. We have wonderful sponsors, and we really, really try to price it so that anybody can come that has an interest in music, and particularly American roots music. And also, we provide complimentary admission to kids under 16. So a family that has children 14, 15 years old, the children can come in for free with their parents. And again, the whole purpose is kids at that age, teenagers, they have a lot of music in their head. They hear a lot of music, a lot of variety of music. But we want them to hear the blues. They may not migrate towards the blues, but we want them to hear it, you know, and at least be aware of it.
And we offer free parking at Lycoming County Fairgrounds. And also, if you live in the Williamsport area and you don't want to drive, we have free bus transportation from downtown Williamsport to bring you down and take you home. And that's subsidized by the Billtown Blues Association. So it's a real deal to come out and enjoy the day.
Charlie Lockhart and Bonnie Tallman of the Billtown Blues Association speaking with us about the 27th Annual Billtown Blues Festival, to be held Saturday, June 18th at the Lycoming County Fairgrounds in Hughesville, just outside Williamsport, featuring Canned Heat, Out on the Road for a 50th Anniversary Tour, also on tap, the Cedric Burnside Project, and remarkable pianist Eden Brent, many more artists. It's 10 hours of music from noon to 10 p.m. on two stages. The gates will open at 11 a.m. It will run rain or shine. There will be special musical performances for young people, for children, including Mixed Up Morning Blues with Mark Ross, based on his children's book, that and more. For more information on the web, BilltownBlues.org, BilltownBlues.org. It's the 27th Annual Billtown Blues Festival, Saturday, June 18th, at the Lycoming County Fairgrounds, East Lycoming Street in Hughesville, noon to 10, rain or shine. For more information on the web, BilltownBlues.org, BilltownBlues.org.